Please listen to Invité de Clark, a new program here at Radio Harmony, where we interview interesting people. Take some time to listen to Invité de Clark. Say Radio Harmony 88.8 on your dial with interesting interviews with interesting people.
It's time for L'Invité de Clark on Radio Harmony Cornouaille 88.8 with your host, Clark Ady. Stay tuned for today's guest, the well-known saxophonist Stefan Spira. Enjoy this entertaining interview with the musician who himself provides great entertainment for his devoted jazz audiences.
C'est l'heure de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmony Cornouaille 88.8 avec votre animateur Clark Ady. Restez à l'écoute pour l'invité d'aujourd'hui, le célèbre saxophoniste Stefan Spira. Profitez de cette interview divertissante avec un musicien qui offre un excellent divertissement à son public dévoué au jazz.
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today I have a very special guest, Stefan Spira, a musician of some renown, I must say. I was lucky enough to hear him play not too long ago, his saxophone. He's a very gifted guy, and we're going to have a nice chat about his life, which is also a very interesting story. So welcome to the show, Stefan.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure, really. I'm here in his home. He's nice enough to allow us to come into the home to do the interview. And I don't know where to start with you, because there's been so many interesting aspects of your life, including time in Paris, of course, where you're from, and times in the United States. You talked about Saudi Arabia. So I think what I'd really like to talk to you about is, how the heck did you get interested in the saxophone?
Oh, that's also a story. Actually, I always loved music since my childhood. Actually, I was, as far as I can remember, when I was like 4 years old, I was listening to records. I would kind of steal records from my father. I was not listening to kids' music. I don't know. I was into the Beatles. I don't know. I was really 4 or 5, and I would like sing the song, but more. Of course, I couldn't speak English, so it was just phonetically. I was just singing along. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, music had definitely a big role in my life from a very early stage. But I wasn't raised in a musician's, there was no musical background in my family.
Well, that's really interesting, sure.
So I was actually listening to it a lot, but it's not like I had mentors, oh, you should listen to this or that. I was kind of a bit on my own. My father, my parents were working a lot. And my father was in antique. He was repairing furniture and old furniture, and so he was pretty busy. So I was kind of not left, but I was spending a lot of time in my dream world and music. So basically, I was nourished with what I could find at school, and so at some point I discovered jazz. But at some point, I'm talking, I was around high school graduation, something like back, I think I really started to listen to jazz. I was 16 or 17.
Where did you first hear the jazz? Because it wasn't in your home, it wasn't maybe on records in your house.
Well, when I was at school, I was starting to listen to soul music, and also, like, you could say, like, West Coast studio music, like Al Jarreau, George Benson. So when they were doing, you know, like the West Coast type of, you know, Old Fly Home. And so, and even like Stevie Wonder, when I would listen to Musicarium, you know, there is like, Do I Do, there is like Dizzy Gillespie on that tune. So like more and more, I was paying attention to what was going on in, you know, not necessarily with the singing, but like, oh wow, this guy's, what he's doing with his trumpet. So Old Fly Home, there is a track of Al Jarreau with Freddie Hubbard. And so I was kind of paying more and more attention to what the musicians were doing and the improvisation. So strangely enough, I went to the story of jazz kind of in a backward way, because I started with this kind of, you know, 70s, 80s music like Larry Carlton, George Benson, you know, Weekend in LA, these kind of albums. And then I think I was in Corsica and some guy said, oh, you like this, you should listen to that. And he takes a record and it puts, like, Telling You Smoke. And like, I'm like, what is this? And, you know, and then he puts Keith Jarrett, Standards Volume 1. I said, wow, but that's, yeah, that's what, and so this was really, I believe I was 17. And this was like a huge shock for me because I went really through all kinds of pop music. I mean, even at school, we were listening to hard rock, AC/DC, stuff like that. And, you know, I was really like searching for food, basically, and trying all kinds of music, classical also. But I don't have like a huge knowledge in classical. I mean, it's getting definitely better now with my wife, but it was more than time. But this was really a shock. So that took me to saxophone.
Because you weren't playing it.
I wasn't playing. So back to when I was a kid, because I was listening so much to music, and my mother, she raised me on her own, basically. She could see I was totally into music, but then she put me, I mean, she didn't come from a musical background, so I guess she did what she could. She could just see that I was into music. And like a kid, I want to try guitar. So she put me in the Conservatoire Municipal in Paris, which was a disaster because the way they teach music, I mean, I don't know if it's still true, but in those days, I mean, there were jazz class, nothing. And basically, after a year, I was dragging my feet way more to go to the music class than to go to school.
Well, that's not the way to do it.
So something was definitely wrong there. But when you're like 6 or 7 years old, you're not really in a position where you say, oh, this is not right for me, this is what I want. I was just, and I didn't have like some time. Yeah, but okay, you know, when you're surrounded by musicians, it becomes totally a different thing. I was really, so after a few catastrophic tries, I said, after a while, I said, okay, I guess maybe I'm just meant to listen to music and not necessarily to play it. And then jazz, so a big parenthesis, listening to a lot of music, like I said, at school, trying to get my hands on any...
Because at school you weren't studying music, you were studying something completely different, weren't you?
Yeah, I went for engineering at a later stage. It's just my results were decent. And I think also my mother, you know, being a mother, said, well, you know, you don't really know what you want to do, so you might as well keep doors as open, you know. I kept them. I went Matspé, the whole thing, and ended up in an engineering school. So during this process, when I was actually in Matspé, I started really listening to jazz. I was in Bordeaux for a year doing a Matspé at Lycée Gustave Eiffel, and there I was on my own in Bordeaux, kind of didn't know, I was a student, and I ended up in a jazz club because I would go to FNAC and get recordings, and the guy, the jazz, oh, you should go, Les Argentiers, it's a club, unfortunately, which is long gone. We're talking 1985, 86, and that's where I really was connected with live jazz. I went to the Les Argentiers, they were playing, it was actually funny, you could have oysters and cheese and jazz, basically, that was the program. So,
great.
I mean, that's what I would do when I would have time because of my study, and listen to Jazz Afib a lot every evening when I would do my math, obviously, Matspé. I was listening to Jazz Afib every night, and they definitely build my jazz culture because I had practically none. And jazz really, like I said, in the early days, I tried a couple instruments and it was still a failure. But there was really something with the saxophone.
Isn't there, though? Yeah, it's such an emotive instrument. I think it's wonderful.
And I remember I was in class, I was in Matspé, so it's not like we had a lot of time for these things, but one guy, I remember, we were doing like industrial drawing stuff. He said, oh, I got a saxophone, you know, second hand stuff. I said, oh man, I want to try this. So I went, and I don't know, I felt like totally, I felt a connection like I never felt before. But I wasn't Matt Smith. I was definitely not doing Berkeley. No, I was like way. But for the first time, I felt like I could really play an instrument. Like there was something. I didn't feel the difficulty of it. Like some, you know, the approach
you can have to it.
You just like I wanted more.
More and more.
It was pretty. So when I had, every time I had a couple of minutes, I would listen a lot to jazz when I would do my homework, which there was a lot. And if I would have a couple of minutes, you know, to just have a break from math and science.
So you picked up the saxophone. What age were you again?
20.
20. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Yeah. This is really the first time I touched a saxophone. Yeah.
And you fell in love.
Totally, totally. It was it was.
Which saxophone was it? The alto, tenor?
Alto. Usually start with the alto. So yeah, my mother got me a saxophone because I said, listen, even if I have 15 minutes a week, that's what I really, if I can do. So she got me actually a cellar, which was really cool.
And when you started playing, were you playing by ear? Did you have somebody help you along?
I still do.
You still do?
Yeah. I worked on my, I mean, don't misunderstand me. But
you still have to do
I don't even understand how you can play. I mean, it's music. I mean,
well, it comes from a different place, and so it has to be spontaneous and creative.
Yeah.
I'm here with Stefan Spirit today, interviewing him in his home about his very interesting musical career. We're just getting started. We're talking about the time he started to fall in love with his main musical instrument, which, of course, is the saxophone, for those who aren't acquainted with him. So at 20 years old, you're there with the sax, and then you're
doing med school, preparing engineering school. So
you probably have to make a decision. And,
well, I don't really have to make a decision because I can't really play. I mean, it's not good, you know. And in my mind, I'm almost wishing I won't have to make the. Oh, it's impossible. I'm having so much. I mean, more than fun. I love it, but it's just irrealistic to think that I could become a professional musician stage. What happens then is that I do my engineering school, which is in Paris, which is called Sudria. And in those days, it was in Paris. And well, it's kind of known that once you are in the school, when you have the contest to actually get into the school, the engineering school, it's a bit more relaxed. I mean, the prepa, Matspe, that's where really it's really hard. But once you get in, I mean, it's not like you still have to study, but it's way more relaxed. And of course, I was in the heart of Paris, so not every night, but I was a lot in jazz clubs, Rue des Lombards. Sunset, there wasn't the Sunset in those days yet. Sunset, Duc des Lombards, Bistrot de Stache also was doing jazz. So I would hear Alain Jean-Marie, Stéphane Belmondo, Sylvain Boeuf, all these guys, Olivier Huttman, Michel Gralier, all the Parisian jazz scene. And because I was playing as an amateur, I didn't really take lesson. I was really self-taught because I think I was pretty traumatized with my first tries with the Conservatoire Municipal. So I was at that age, I knew what I wanted. So I would go to the musicians I was listening to and say, you know, I'm trying this. Yeah, you should practice this, work this. So I was kind of doing like a rough. I was building my thing a bit on my own and getting tips from professional
musicians. Natural talent that can emerge and with the right kind of mentor like that.
And then listening to a lot, being in the club or coming in the morning at engineering school was like pretty tired eyes. And I started playing as, you know, you could say as an amateur. I was in the engineering school as a 3-year courses, and I was, you know, I was playing.
Did they have sort of like amateur nights or something like that where young guys can get up and play?
Well, there were jam session, but I wasn't even really thinking in those terms. I found like a couple of friends bass player, and we would just play. Okay. And we would more go, actually, I don't know, Pont des Arts, outside play.
Yeah.
Outside, I wasn't thinking about, I didn't have the level to go in a jazz club, stand up and play. I mean, I was really playing by ear. I mean, I had no idea what a chord was. I was just picking up stuff from the recordings and trying to play.
That's all the time we have today, but join me again next week for more of my interview with Stefan Spira on Radio Harmony 88.8. I'm your host, Clark Ady. You can listen to L'Invité de Clark whenever and wherever you are on Radio Harmony's website. Just visit www.radio-harmony.com to listen live, or where you can find all of our past interviews under the podcast tab. See you next time, and remember, things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
C'est tout pour cette édition de l'Invité de Clark sur Radio Harmonie 88.8 avec votre animateur Clark Ady. Merci pour votre écoute. Retrouvez Clark la semaine prochaine pour la suite de son entretien avec Stefan Spira. Écoutez la rediffusion de l'émission ce samedi à 18h15 sur 88.8 en direct ou plus tard sur www.radio-harmonie.com en cliquant sur l'onglet Podcast, où toutes nos émissions passées sont accessibles. À la prochaine fois, et rappelez-vous, les choses se passent toujours mieux avec un peu d'harmonie dans votre vie.
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.